From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 14 and verse 8. We live unto the Lord. If God had willed it, each of us might have entered heaven at the moment of conversion. It was not absolutely necessary for our preparation for immortality that we should tarry here. It is possible for a man to be taken to heaven and to be found meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, though he has but just believed in Jesus. It is true that our sanctification is a long and continued process, and we shall not be perfected till we lay aside our bodies and enter within the veil. But nevertheless, had the Lord so willed it, He might have changed us from imperfection to perfection, and have taken us to heaven at once. Why, then, are we here? Would God keep His children out of paradise a single moment longer than necessary? Why is the army of the living God still on the battlefield, when one charge might give them the victory? Why are His children still wandering hither and thither through a maze, when a solitary word from His lips would bring them into the center of their hopes in heaven? The answer is, they are here that they may live unto the Lord, and may bring others to know His love. We remain on earth as sowers to scatter good seed, as plowmen to break up the fallow ground, as heralds publishing salvation. We are here as the salt of the earth, to be a blessing to the world. We are here to glorify Christ in our daily life. We are here as workers for Him, and as workers together with Him. Let us see that our life answereth its end. Let us live earnest, useful, holy lives, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Meanwhile, we long to be with Him, and daily sing, My heart is with Him on His throne, and ill can brook delay. Each moment listening for the voice, Rise up and come away.
The great day is coming, heaven's gates will open wide, and all who love the Lord will enter in. Join with their loved ones who in Jesus Christ have died, their eternal life in heaven to begin. And the Lord Himself will greet us, all the joy will fill that day, and with the smile of the proudest Father, He looks at us to say, so faithful.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans as he brings the next portion of a message called The Purpose of Grace and a Passion for Souls. The text for the message is found in chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, in which the Apostle Paul reveals his heart for his fellow Jews. As Dr. Cairns demonstrates, Paul's view of salvation as found in the Old Testament applies to both Jews and Gentiles. All are saved in the same way. Paul states a truth that is common to both Testaments, that salvation is all of God. Dr. Cairns will show the fallacy of the popular notion that God does his part and man must do his part in order to be saved. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Purpose of Grace and a Passion for Souls.
You see, for Paul, this gospel of justifying grace and imputed righteousness, the merits of Christ made over to the people of God, received by faith alone, that is the heart of the gospel revelation. That's everything to Paul. And so he is discussing that, and he's justifying God's actions in applying that. And in so doing, he deals with predestination and election. You see, Paul's not interested in a philosophical discussion. And as you'll see as we go down the ninth chapter, Paul isn't even interested in trying to reconcile the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of the creature. And something more, and this is something that many Calvinists choke on, and they get it all wrong, and they become hyper and get away from their moorings. Paul isn't even at pains to try to work out how God, on the one hand, can elect a people unto eternal life, and yet on the other hand, freely offer saving grace to men indiscriminately. He's not interested in giving philosophical answers. He's dealing with the subject as part of his defense of the righteousness and the faithfulness of God. Now, the importance of that should be clear to everybody. I hope it will become even clearer as we proceed. For the moment, all I want you to notice this, that Paul, and to him, the doctrine of God's sovereign electing grace is essential to three things. Now, understand what I'm saying. According to Paul, you cannot be right on any of these three things unless you understand the truth of, not understand the workings of, but understand the truth of God's sovereign electing grace. It's essential to any faithful demonstration of the character of God. You cannot faithfully expound the God of the Bible unless you are willing to submit yourself to a total acceptance of the absolute sovereignty of His will, His choice, and His action. Second, it's essential to any full exposition of the gospel. Now, I'm very tempted to take off, but it would take me all night if I did it. I'd never get back to Romans 9, 1 through 5. And time is not my friend at the minute. I wish I had a year to go through Romans 9, but I don't, so I'm having to keep the pedal to the metal and keep going. But you know something? The further evangelists have got away from the old, rugged, Calvinistic presentation of the gospel, dealing with man in all his depravity, depriving the sinner of any hope in himself, leveling his pride in the dust, letting the law of God do its work of deep conviction and plowing deep furrows of sorrow into the heart of the sinner, and then showing Christ in his all-sufficiency and the glory of his merit and his finished work, and then commanding all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. The further evangelism has got away from that, the more Arminian it has become. Let me tell you, the more another gospel has been preached. What's masquerading as the gospel today is come to Jesus. You've got a great big aching void in your heart. You've tried drugs, but they don't work. You've hit the bottle, but it leaves you sadder than you were before. You've got a big aching void in your heart. God has a wonderful purpose for you, and you're not living it out. Oh, come to Jesus. That's not the gospel. Where did you ever read the like of that in the Bible? It's not the gospel. It's not even a first cousin of the gospel. The gospel is not you do this or that. The gospel is the story of what God has done in Jesus Christ to reconcile guilty, vile, rebellious sinners unto Himself. I remember years ago hearing a young woman on a radio interview. I don't know what religious outfit she was from, but she was able to predict this great revival. And if you take her definition of revival, it has taken place. And then she said about all these young people, and she was talking about hippies and people coming out of the drug culture, etc. All these people who'd be coming to faith. They're going to get into this Christian spirituality. And then she said, of course, it's not going to be anything like that old business that you're a sinner and God is angry with your sin and you're going to hell and you must be saved. It's none of that. Man, let me tell you, if it's none of that, it's not of God. That's the trouble. We have churches across America and across the world, and they are filling their pews and they're populating hell with the people who have been made the fools of a false gospel. Paul is saying clearly here that this doctrine of the sovereign electing grace of God is essential not only to a faithful exposition or demonstration of His character, but also a full exposition of the gospel. And for us Christians, he's making it clear that it's essential to any fruitful application of the gospel to the lives of the people of God. Now, in the Bible notes I gave out some time ago, I gave a very simple outline of the three chapters of Romans 9, 10, and 11. I must confess there was a time I thought I would actually just preach this all in one message and prove to you that I could preach three chapters in one message. I could, but it would raise more questions than it answered. But I'm going to give you that outline tonight, and I trust you'll keep it in mind. Romans chapter 9. What is the one message that everything else expounds? The grace of God is sovereign in its ordination. That's what Paul is teaching. God's grace is sovereign in its ordination. Paul had no doubt about the absolute sovereignty of God. Now, what do you mean by the sovereignty of God? The word sovereignty means simply the right and the ability, the authority and the ability to rule. What does the sovereignty of God mean? Let me put it in very simple terms. And I want, if this shocks some of you, I want it to shock you. Because we need to be shocked into reality. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God we worship. He has the authority. And He backs it up with the ability. And He backs that up with the action. To do precisely what He wills to do for no other reason than He wills to do it. That's sovereignty. God does what He wills for the simple reason that He wills to do it. And it is right because He is the one who does it. Remember what I've said from this pulpit 100 times. Never forget it. Anything God does is always worthy of Himself. He cannot do anything that is unworthy of His own glorious person. This is His absolute sovereignty. And that's what Paul was preaching and defending. Thus, Paul had neither question nor complaint about God's right to choose out of the corrupted mass of humanity a people for Himself according to His will. To the Apostle Paul, there could never be any ambiguity about the truth that the salvation of any man depends on God's will and not man's will. Do you follow that? This is where the Bible runs contrary to so much of evangelicalism today. Evangelicalism generally teaches you that God wants to do a whole lot, but it's all up to the will of man. I've often quoted one English evangelist who was carried away with the passion of his own preaching. And I have to sympathize with him. I mean, he preached heresy, but I sympathize with him in this, that it is easy in the passion of the minute to get carried away, and sometimes your mouth runs away with you and you say things you later regret. But as he was preaching about all that God wanted to do and all that the will of man wouldn't let him do, he threw up his hands and he cried, "Poor God! Poor God! Poor idiot of a preacher. I don't serve a poor God. The Bible doesn't present poor little God." I want to tell you, the salvation of any man depends on the will of God. And here's the thing, if salvation is all of grace, then it is all of God. Thus, you have the strong language. If you read down in Romans 9, and we'll come to this more in the next message probably, but have a look at this, what Paul is writing here. Start at verse 10. "Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. But what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will." That is, I will to have compassion. "So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth." Look at verse 21. "Hath not the potter power over the clay, over the same lump, to make, or of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory." I told you Paul was saying some things here that people don't like. I suggest it's time we get to like what God likes. What I'm saying to you tonight is this, that God's grace is sovereign in its ordination, or its foreordination. Chapter 10 goes right into another subject, another aspect of grace, and that is that God's grace is sincere in its offer. Now, I said some time ago that Paul was not a bit worried about trying to reconcile God's purpose on the one hand and God's proclamation of the gospel and its offer on the other hand. In Romans chapter 10, he sets out the truth, verses 6 to 8, that faith in Christ is the sole means of acceptance and justification. Then in verses 11 through 13, he shows that Jews and Gentiles are equally guilty, and the gospel is equally suited to both. Therefore, that's the basis of the great proclamation in verse 9, where he freely presents the gospel to all men and sincerely offers it to them. And this is what he says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now follow me carefully here. In Romans 9, you had the sovereign will of God, sovereign in its ordination. Now watch the end of Romans 10. To Israel, he saith, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What a picture that is. God's grace is not only sovereign in its ordination, but it is sincere in its offer. Here he is dealing with a people who were utterly stubborn in their sin. God did not say, and I want you to understand this, God did not say, oh, you're not the predestinated, therefore there is no gospel to be preached to you. No, no. He stood pleading. He stood proclaiming. He was stretching out his hands. That's a plea. But it's more than that. That's a welcome.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.